This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 570 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com. And joining me, freshly back from the subcontinent, from CreativePhotoWorkshops.com.au, it is Mr. Glyn Lavender. How is
you? Not that fresh. It's been a couple of weeks.
Oh, okay.
We were back in November 6/15 or something.
Why didn't you tell me you were back in the country?
I'll be back almost a month.
Good on you.
I've done it. Just for those who want, there's a fabulous podcast called the Down South Photo Show. It's a video podcast. You can find it on YouTube. I'm on episode 450. I did their podcast before I did yours.
Good on you.
It's very good. It's a good episode. I'm told it's the best episode 450. It might be episode 150. Right. Actually, I think more like episode 1. Or could be, I don't know, whatever it is. It was the best episode they recorded that week.
Right. Excellent.
Right. I thought you knew I was back. I thought, well, maybe you're busy.
No. I was waiting to hear that you were back on Terra Australis, and I figured,
You'd be following me on Facebook or something.
Well, I am, but you were constantly posting photos of India. I figured,
he's got his
week-long tack-on thing at the end, so I figured it was still going.
It's kind of hard to tell the difference, isn't it? Yeah.
That's it.
How
was it?
What? Yeah. Oh, so long ago. I've forgotten most of it now. It's been so long. Yeah, look, it was India. I said this on the other podcast, the Down South Photo Show podcast, just for those who don't know it, that every time you go to India...
I'm going
to
bleep all those out like I do when you swear.
Well, the photo show. Have you ever seen the YouTube video of the Count from
Sesame Street?
And he does this song called the Counting Song.
Right.
And they blank out the middle part of the word. So it's like, I effing you are this, and I effing you, I'm cutting this, I'm cutting that. And it's one of the funniest, it's one of the funniest things on YouTube. It's so, your brain just thinks it's so goddamn filthy. Yeah. And it's an actual Sesame Street song. Yeah. So as I said on said other podcasts that you won't mention, but if I say the words, yeah, and then put it a couple of bit later, and a bit later, and a bit later show, then it's even harder to block out. It's like all mixed up. That every time you go to India, it's a completely different experience. It's a completely different place. And everything you thought you were going to do, you don't end up doing. And everything, every sort of types of photos you think you're going to be taking, you don't. And it's just one of those remarkable places that, it's probably best not to prepare for, because you won't be doing what you thought you were going to do when.
Right.
Anyway, so it was interesting. Yeah, so it was probably the hardest photo tour as far as photo wise, getting good photo, hardest tour to photograph I've ever done. Whilst at the same time being one of the easiest tours to run.
Why?
Especially the first half. I don't know. Maybe it's because I've been there that many times. Maybe it's just harder for me to find new stuff. But it just seemed it's even hard to explain. I end up shooting stuff differently than what I normally shoot. Maybe it's because I was using Sony cameras too, with flexible screens.
Right.
Is one. So first up, I'm using completely new gear, lenses I'd never used, cameras I'd never really used. And I was shooting a technique I'd never really used. So my one shutter speed, one aperture for pretty much the entire trip,
Wow.
And
using auto ISO.
And auto ISO, yeah. So nice. 250 shutter speed, 5.6.
Yeah, wow.
Auto ISO, and shoot 90% of the entire trip on that.
Wow.
Which is an incredibly freeing experience, because you're not even thinking about photography per se, the settings anymore. You're just thinking about
composition,
shooting. Yeah, and moment stuff, the cultural stuff. So maybe it was just a combination of those things.
I am interested in, you as a portrait photographer who generally would shoot reasonably wide open, that 5.6 seems rather stopped down for a Lavender.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though. Those settings are designed for your everyday walk-around shooting.
Sure.
Yeah, walking down laneways, stuff's unpredictably happening. Every couple of seconds, something's going to happen, and you need to be ready to shoot it regardless of,
You can just lift the camera and press the button.
Pretty much. Yeah. That's all the time you've got.
Yeah.
You know? But when you're taking your time and doing portraits, that's what I said, 90%, and maybe
85%. Yeah, sure.
The rest of the time is then. I had two fixed settings. I also had a slow shutter speed setting of a 25th of a second at about f8.
Wow.
And auto ISO. When I wanted to try and badly do some panning shots, because I'm crap at panning, and so I wanted to do 400 or 500 out of focus blurry panning shots, and I managed that really quite well. A liar. Probably I did it for about 2 minutes once, and managed a half decent shot, which for me, for that's quite high average for me. It's right. Pretty good. But I was doing stuff like there's this little guy living in this little cubby in this little hole in the wall. Basically, he had a little chai shop, a little tea shop.
Oh yeah,
and he was sort of stuck out. But there's another guy running a shop above him. So there's like this, and he was kind of half submerged in the ground. But so it's just by where people's feet are walking.
Yeah,
so
right.
I'm sitting there with a slow shutter speed, go click, 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 trying to get a spot of him doing something with the tee between people's legs going past all blurred.
Yeah.
So that kind of stuff with slow shutter speed, or you know, standing still, maybe trying to show the movement of people. I photographed some seagulls on in Delhi at middle of November through – well, early November through to like February. These seagulls migrate in from the Arctic. They're called Arctic seagulls, funnily enough.
Wow.
And they fly all the way down from the Arctic and camp behind what's called the Red Fort in Delhi in the Yamuna River, which is one of the world's, if not the world's, most polluted river.
Oh.
One of the reasons I went to it a couple of days early for was
the seagulls fly back to Antarctica to get healthy for 6 months.
Legless, yeah. Well, they can't land because their legs are dissolved. So one of the reasons I went to it a couple of days early was to get down and to see if the seagulls were there. There's some people renting out rowboats to see if those rowboats were even remotely sound.
Seaworthy, yep.
Yeah, and then to go and to photograph and get a feel for it, and then see if it's worthwhile taking the group down for. And it was quite good. So I went down there on my first proper morning, got there at 5 o'clock in the morning. This is a place that no one really goes to. Locals do, like locals who are there's some engagement shoots going on, that kind of stuff. But as far as Westerners, I mean, my driver, who knows Delhi left, right, and said he didn't know how to get there, and it took stopping quite a few times at 5 o'clock in the morning to try and find someone to give him directions how to get into where I was trying to go to.
Yeah.
Then when we had our proper, so I had my own driver for 2 days, and then when the tour arrived with our official Delhi driver, he didn't know how to get there, so I had to guide him with my guide, because it's just somewhere no one goes to. These guys are used to going to all the tourist places.
Gotcha.
Knock down some back alleyways, down some little middle of nowhere kind of stuff. So that was a pretty cool experience. The sun rising, all these hundreds of seagulls. There wasn't that many there yet. There was only hundreds. There weren't thousands, which you get probably by now, which would be even more spectacular. But we managed to get some pretty cool shots there. But that's also why I use the slow shutter speed settings as well. So to try and get the movement of the birds in the air rather than just frozen birds in the air. So it was pretty much those two settings the majority of the time. And then when I was doing
the frozen ones, just fly in a parabolic arc.
What do you want is some pattern and some shape and some texture. So I'm just going to ignore you. But then when you're doing some more curated shots and they had some more time, then it would be normal, manual, open it wide open, that kind of stuff. And I found a couple of interesting things about the Sony over the Canon. The Sony is absolutely shite for focusing in low light. That thing just cannot do it compared to my Canon. My Canon would snap in, and my Canon's an 8-year-old camera.
Wow.
It would have no problem focusing whatsoever. Mind you, the Sony's also like a 7-year-old camera, but it would not focus to save itself.
Yeah, right.
It kind of drove me insane, frankly. And it didn't always eye focus when I wanted it to.
Oh, okay.
It would eye focus when I wasn't expecting it to, and when I really, really, really desperately wanted it to, it wouldn't do it.
Wow.
And I could never figure out why. You know, you got the frame, you got your frame filled with pretty much just only a face. Yeah, it's pretty easy to tell where the eyes are. And
wow.
So that kind of drove me a little bit spare. But again, that's probably could be user error too. You know, not having enough time with the gear.
Yeah.
So maybe a combination of all those factors sort of made the shooting feel somewhat different, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like always, you know, you've probably never been fishing before. Have you ever been fishing before?
Very, but sometimes
if you go fishing, and you cast your line in and the first cast you get a fish, that's a really bad sign.
Right.
Right? Because you're probably not getting anything else for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
If you've gone off away for a weekend, that's probably your one fish for the weekend.
Right.
If you've gone away for a week, that's probably your one fish for the week.
Right.
And you've got it first cast. No, terrible. So I arrived into Delhi at like 5 o'clock in the morning and went straight to the car and straight to shooting. Went straight out shooting. So I went to this place called Safdar Jung's tomb.
Okay.
And it's beautiful old. And I got there early, and it was probably only 7 o'clock in the morning by the time I got there. But I was the only person there. There was not a single soul. And I'm wandering around, and the light's gorgeous. And I'm getting some really cool shots, you know. And I got probably 4 or 5 really cool shots from my very first location. And not have to worry about anybody else. And I could just take my time and just got to get over being on the plane for 15 hours or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And just got to get my head in the game. And really, really good experience. That's the first, that's catching the good fish
right.
in the first cast. Yeah. And then it's like, then I went to this place called the Nizamuddin Shrine, which is a Sufi shrine. It's kind of embedded in all these laneways. And I walked around these streets and, you know, I was having a great time. You know, the faces are fabulous. It's a mostly Muslim Sufi area. And I'm sitting there chatting to all these people. But all they were interested in was converting me to Muslim, which has never happened
Islam.
Before.
Yeah.
Never ever to Islam. Never ever happened before.
Yeah.
But lots of them didn't want to have their photo taken as Muslims. Muslims don't have their photos taken. So whether it's Sufi Muslims are more particular. And when they keep asking me about, well, what's your religion? And it's like, well, I don't have one.
Photography. That's my religion.
It did not compute. No, fly fishing is my religion. No, if I'm going to have religion, it wouldn't be photography. It did not compute that I have no religion.
Yeah, right.
None whatsoever. They just could not comprehend. They're like baffled. What do you mean? And there's nothing I could, there's no words I could have said to them. Which would have made them understand the concept.
Yeah, right.
And so I'm saying, look, when I die, I'm happy for that to be it.
You know?
I want to make sure what I do, I'll be a good person here.
Yep.
I'll be nice to people. I talk to people. I love meeting people. I love chatting with people like yourself. I'll be a good person everywhere I go and try and do good. And when I'm gone, that's it.
Yeah.
Doesn't compute.
Yeah, right.
So the first day was kind of, I started off with some really cool photos, got harder and harder.
Yeah.
But then the seagulls, and then I was supposed to, I had these plans. I was going to shoot for 2 days to get my brain into gear. And the second day, my local guide, who I use all the time, begged me to go to this museum, this camera museum.
Right.
The largest camera museum in India called Museo Camera.
Okay.
Because his second mother, a mentor to him when he was growing up, runs the place, and she would be so honored if I would go.
Okay.
And I didn't want to go. I wanted to go out and shoot. I wanted to go and take photos. I'm not interested in museums. I don't do culture that way. Yeah. I want to go out and be in culture, not learn about culture that's gone. But, yeah, do him a favor. Okay, so it's like an hour out from where I had to drive it, get a drive taking an hour from where I wanted to be. Get on the way, get a message from him. Oh, she's not there today.
Oh.
Her husband's sick and in hospital. But the founder of the whole news, his personal collection started a museum, he's going to meet you there. It's a great honor. So, okay, Mesh, I'll go. So I've rocked up, and this guy's kind of casually walked out and said, "G'day to me." He goes, "Oh, you may as well come in now." I was there 10 minutes before they opened. Yeah,
right.
I want to get over and done with.
Yeah.
Come in, you may as well come in then. And we just sat talking for like 20 minutes, and it was, I don't know, it wasn't awkward, but it was like, oh, I'm not that interested. And he's kind of waiting for me to be all, you know, oh, this is amazing. You're fabulous, but I'm not that kind of guy,
you know. Yeah.
So then he goes, "Well, the entry's there. It's 500 rupees entry, which is like 10 bucks.
Yeah.
And there's 300 rupees for the headphones for the guided tour.
Right.
So you go and do that. When you're done, we can have a cup of tea together." Oh, shit. Now I've got to fork out money.
Yeah.
Not a lot of money, but money.
Yeah.
Go into, and this thing's huge. It's 3 stories high. It's like a warehouse.
Okay.
So it's a warehouse kind of medium, like a showroom, like a showroom width and 3 stories high.
Right.
The amount of work involved in this thing is remarkable. It is incredible.
Okay.
But it ain't my thing. So I'm in there going, well, how long is a respectable time to be in here?
Yeah.
Yeah, how long do I have to feel like I've given it justice? I'm kind of taking some photos of this because I'm going to do a Facebook post about it at least. And let's listen to the first 3 seconds of one audio thing and then not listen to that.
Yeah.
And it sounded really well done. So I gave it about 25 minutes.
Okay.
You know, and I've come out and I handed my headphones back and he's walked up. Well, didn't spend very long in there, did you? And I said, oh, look, you know, wasn't really sure what I was coming out here for, you know. It's mostly to see this. And I've got to be out shooting this afternoon. He goes, well, it was nice meeting you. Shoot, man, and turned around walked off. So I was going to say, so no cup of tea then. But I was just kind of happy to be getting out. And so it was funny, but he maybe signed the guest book, you know. And funnily enough, I would have bought a T-shirt, but they had nothing in my size.
Right.
Two of my clients who were coming on the tour, a couple from Perth, they were staying nearby, and they saw the sign for it. So they went in on their own accord, and they've messaged me, taking a photo of the guest book. We just missed you. And they spent like 2.5 hours in there. It was amazing. And it was. It was an amazing place, but my God, my ADHD and my lack of, I mean, my attention to detail is bad at the best of times. As you well know, me being here at 8:30 ready to record, and then you message saying, no, we've never ever recorded at 8:30 because it's always been 9 o'clock. Yeah, that's my attention to detail in life, right? So yeah, it's funny. India was tough shooting. Lots of stuff going wrong all the time. So it's constantly having to change schedule, constantly having to be the typical duck calm on the surface, pedaling like crazy underneath.
Yeah.
And India's always a really hard place to find out information about what's actually going to go on and what's not going to go on.
Right.
So we've got to Varanasi, this beautiful, you know, the city on the Ganges River, where they burn the bodies and all the people come down to pray. And they've come, and the guide, my guide's in India, there's this thing called the Gold Star Guide. Okay. So there's 2,500 Gold Star Guides in all of India. Okay. So tour guides. And he's one of them. So he's really in the top echelon of all guides in India. He's also a really good light stand holder, which is all he gets to really do for me. So I didn't get to guide very much. But because of all the demands I have of what I want to do, stuff that's different, he's hired a local guide there as well.
Right.
So we're trying to. I'm trying to plan what we're going to be, what's going to be happening on the banks of the rivers. Is there anything special happening? Because there's always something going on, and they're going, oh yeah, there's this particular thing on. It's huge. It's one of the biggest festivals there is. It's going to be on tonight. The people. It's going to, the gats, the steps are going to be just absolutely full of people. So I've told the group this.
Right.
Then we're driving down, and then they come. Oh, Glenn, sorry, they've changed it till tomorrow. So we get down there, and there's almost no one.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
we've gone from this expectation of thousands of people to almost no one. Yeah, and it's like, well, guys, that's my own lesson learned is, you know, get down there, whatever's there, you shoot.
Yeah.
Don't pre-anticipate stuff.
Yeah.
Whatever happens, happens. And so that was kind of – and then I wanted to go see these toy makers. I read this little obscure article online about Varanasi used to be famous for people making wooden toys and lacquered wooden toys.
Okay, yep.
In these little laneways in Varanasi. And so I inquired about it with my local guide, and he goes, never heard of it, you know. No with the national guy, the great green gold guy. So he's talked to the local guide, and he's like, and he goes, I kind of know the area kind of thing, but no idea what's going on. So we got our bus with 8 people.
Yeah.
And just to laugh, the first day of tour, first trip out, we pull outside, they put up a 45-seater bus for 8 people, which can't get down the streets we want to go to.
Oh, no.
It's like, this is what I'm saying, but everything, nothing ever goes to plan. It's all fun. It's all part of where I tell everyone, all the stuff that goes wrong is where the stories are at. So we've got our bus. It's like a 12-seater with our 8 people in it, and we've got the guide, and we've got the local guide, and we've got the driver and his assistant, and we're driving along, and we've got to the area where the toys are, and they said, just a minute, and the two guides have hopped out, and they've grabbed this other guy, and they've pulled him on board. And he's a local to the area who's helping the local guide, who's helping the national. So this guy's guiding us down these little laneways. I think it's not going to happen. We're just not going to find it. And the first couple we went to, they're closed. Yeah, there's nothing happening. It's like, God almighty. But then we eventually found this other laneway of these little guys, and it was really cool. But the effort to get there was so huge that is in you in a nutshell. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Yeah. The photos are good at the end of it, but the effort to get those photos seemed really hard.
Yeah.
I said it was like one of the hardest tours to photograph because everything would seem to be hard to make happen.
Yeah.
Which it was unusual. Yeah. You know? I said just stuff like that going wrong all the time. Something would be happening, yeah. And then coming back from so we get this phone. I get this phone call the night before we leave Varanasi. A WhatsApp message from the tour company in India.
Hmm.
Forest flight morning flight's cancelled.
Due to fog.
Okay, so it's the night before. How did I know it was going to be foggy?
Yeah.
So you've been rescheduled. Instead of having to get up at 4 o'clock to catch the flight, you can now get up at 7 o'clock to catch the flight.
Right.
And then you'll catch this flight and you'll arrive in Jodhpur, which is where, because we had to fly to Delhi and then Delhi to Jodhpur.
Right.
You'll be arriving a couple of hours later than anticipated. Oh, that's great. No problem at all. We get to the airport the following morning and my guy, my gold guide's looking a bit nervous and going, Umesh, what's going on? He goes, well, we're going to change terminals.
Right.
Yeah, because that means we've got to get our bags, collect our bags, and then resubmit our bags again.
What?
And he goes, and that means we're going to miss the flight, the connection. And I don't think there's any more today.
Oh, you're kidding.
I go, oh, yeah, I don't know where I was. So, yes, definitely miss the flight. Nothing we can do about it. Get on the phone to the India tour guide, head of the tour company. He's got with these mellifluous, accent-free voices that's just absolutely calming and magnificent. And he's going, Lynn, we've got two options. You can stay another day in Delhi and fly tomorrow, or we can take a bus drive to Jodhpur. And I'm going, how long's the bus drive? He goes, 6 to 8 hours.
So 12 hours.
And my brain's gone, there's no effing way. Because Agra, which is where you have to go past to get this, is 150 kilometres away, and that's about a 5-hour drive.
Right.
There you go, 150K. I'm gone. So I handed back. I talked to the group and said, look, there's an option A or option B.
Yeah.
Who's up for and I reckon 12 to 14-hour bus trip. They're saying 6 to 8. I'm saying 12 to 14. Anything in between is a bonus.
Yeah.
And they're all up for it, which is really good. So we said, we're going to take the bus. So they then had to find a bus. Right, and in the middle of Diwali with this huge.
So he's offered you a bus ride without a bus.
Yeah, without a bus, yeah, or a driver. And they're trying to, of course, it's Diwali, so everyone, all these people have left to go out for their families. Yeah. So anyway, we got this bus, and sure enough, it's like a 13-hour bus drive. But now so here's the thing, they hit us up for the extra flight, the other flight, that we had to pay for that. Because there was the only way we were going to get there in time is you had to take this. So they hit me up the cost of that. And then because we missed that, we're now going to pay for the bus as well.
Oh, jeez.
So it's like everything's hard. Hard.
Since 2005, Shutters Inc. has been a labor of love. But beyond the time required to produce it, there is also a financial commitment. If you find value in the podcast and would like to help keep the servers running, hit up the Patreon link, which is in the show notes. Even a couple of dollars a month will help. Much appreciated. Now, back to the podcast.
And so all the photos, the work to get the photos seemed harder. Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't flow as easy because you're so stressed about doing it. And look, for the first 5 or 6 days, everyone kept coming up and said, this is the best tour ever, best trip, this is amazing. I can't believe how good this is. After day one, they're saying, tour's paid for itself already.
Yeah, right.
But as the tour progressed, it got harder and harder to photograph. It just got, like, we get to Pushkar for the camel fair and most of the oldies have carked it during COVID. So a lot of the characters, and they're getting pushed further and further away from the main sort of fair areas. Now getting more, not commercial, but there's more formal stands and stables and stuff for the horses. So there's less guys, less camels, and every single person, you lift the camera, money, which it never used to be. So now for 12 hours a day, it's getting money, and just drives you. So I'm never going there again. That was the last ever trip to Pushkar.
Yeah, right.
Because that experience is terrible. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
The first morning, got to chat to a couple of lovely old guys and had a lovely time and got some photos, and that was all good. But from then on, it all went downhill. Except for we had a good moment the second morning. I had to start then manufacturing good stuff because there wasn't enough of the old guys. There wasn't a mass amount of camels, but there were a lot of people wanting, you know, to pay to play for photos. So I found this kind of cool looking dude with cobras, you know, the snake charmer. And as soon as he sat down, one of his mates came and sat next to him. So we had two snake charmers, but they were really kind of good guys. We were having a good chat and a bit of a laugh. So the experience was kind of nice rather than just pay to play. And then once we'd done the photos, they made me sit next to him. They put the cobra on my head and all this kind of stuff and wrap it around my neck. And everyone, of course, all the groups loving that and taking photos. So that was all really good. Didn't worry me. I'm not scared of snakes. But then, yeah, we're swapping WhatsApp numbers with these guys and they're sending me photos of them of their family and all. So we got this kind of cool stuff. And the same thing happened in Varanasi. We photographed some holy men. Mm. And you have to pay a few shekels if you want to spend some quality time photographing these guys. But it goes towards like an ashram, goes to like the group and helps pay for everyone to be able to survive. And so that's okay. I don't mind that. So we had these photographs. But after we were doing the photographs, they got me to come up and sit with them and sit and share time with them and sharing WhatsApp numbers. And every day I get a daily blessing from one of them. whilst some of you have to manufacture to make stuff happen, you try and find ways to make it
organic,
not just here's $10, let us take your photo, see you later. Which is terrible. I want to know who these people are, but I want to spend time not just taking photos, but connecting with them.
Yeah.
And then sending them photos. And they send me photos of their wife and their kids and them and Holy and all this other stuff, all this kind of cool stuff. So you get this much nicer, rounded experience. You look at the photos bring back better memories than, oh, I paid that guy to take a photo.
Yeah, totally.
So that's kind of the balance we had to do a little bit more over there was and I was using my hobo light, my new little
light
for the first time. Worked a bloody treat.
Cool.
Yeah. As long as it's dusk or dawn, because LED lights don't do much good in the middle of 36 degree blazing sun.
Yeah.
But towards evening, they were just absolutely fabulous. So made life much easier. So I took an off camera flash, triggers for every single brand, and softbox and a pole to hold the flash and everything else. Didn't take one shot.
Yeah. Right. Just use constant light with the hobo.
So much easier for everybody. Guaranteed it works for everybody. Yeah,
no sync issues.
Yeah, all the light. I needed. Multiple people could shoot at the same time if they wanted to.
Yeah.
All the good stuff. Yeah, so so that worked out pretty good. Yeah, and then as the tour went on towards the end, it just got a little bit harder. Everyone was getting a bit tired. I was getting tired. I started feeling a bit unwell. I got a bit sick whilst I was away, and I'm now dealing with those consequences. I was in hospital yesterday, and I've got a whole battery of tests to find out what's going on at the moment, but hopefully everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
I'm seeing a new cardiologist, and he kind of – eyes boggled at what the previous cardiologist had done and the medications he had me on.
Oh.
When he's changed medications, you're going off that one immediately, you go to this one because your body was never going to win the fight with those ones.
Right.
It's like, oh, shit, that's not good wordage. And this is hilarious. Nothing to do with photography. I meet the guy for the first time. He's an Irish lad. And he walks out and he fist pumps me. And then at the end of the consultation, he fist pumps me again. That's the only two times he touched me for the entire consultation. Didn't check my heart, didn't do blood pressure, didn't do anything. Oh, it's $350, thank you very much. It's $350, I'm in the wrong business.
Totally.
So I started feeling a wee unwell towards the end of the tour, but we managed to get through it okay and stuff. But then the last morning, the last evening, we're across the road from the Taj Mahal, beautiful sunset. Well, beautiful. It's not a cloud in the sky. It's a time of year. Yeah. There's no cloud. But it was a nice bit of a warmish glow kind of warmish glow on some of the buildings around. So it was a lovely evening. Everyone could see the Taj really well. And the air quality was really good, so you could see it in quite good detail. Because then the following morning, we're lined up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go to see the Taj. And that's our last morning on the tour. And we're sitting there and we're staring at the stars and it's gorgeous and it's just an amazingly clear night and it's beautiful. And then 5:15, this fog rolls in. it's getting thicker and thicker and thicker. And so by the time you finally go in at sunrise, this is when the Taj opens, right at the spot of sunrise, you go in. And there's that famous shot where the reflecting pool is, where everyone takes a photo. And it's like five people lined up to take a shot. and I've got a behind-the-scenes shot with the iPhone of them.
Yeah.
And there's these five people and a grey wall, a dark grey wall. That's all you could. You couldn't even see the pool. You could see a fog. You could see nothing. It was a solid wall.
Wow.
And everyone's like, oh, yeah. And I'm going, this is fabulous. Yeah. And they go, what? So, well, never seen it foggy at the Taj before.
Yeah.
Seen it clear plenty of times. And I said, that, and as I think about all sorts of travel photography, when you go to a place expecting to take a certain type of photo,
yeah,
what do you do when it's not there?
Yeah.
And this is a classic example with the Taj. The Taj, the photo, the reflecting pool shot that everyone planned to take,
yeah,
they can't take. Yeah. And that fog there for 3 or 4 hours. So it ain't going nowhere, yeah, you know. Yeah. And we're there for an hour and a half, you know. But I'm around, I normally go in, so if anyone ever goes to the Taj, as sunrise comes up, I'm always on the left-hand side of it because the sun comes up on the right-hand side and right. You get it coming. But, of course, there's no sunrise this morning because of the fog.
Yeah.
But there was a slightish bit of light coming through. And the fog, as fog does, it drifts. So every now and then the Taj would see bits of it, you know, a lot of bits of it, some of it, half of it, quarter of it, all that kind of stuff. So I just positioned myself there and hopefully waited for people to go past. And people of interest, and then these three ladies go past, and one was in red, one was in green, one was in blue, RGB. Yeah, so there's a woman at the front is walking fairly strongly, and has steps, really strong steps, and she's looking straight ahead, not looking at me taking the photo. The woman in the middle is kind of hesitant step, and she's kind of halfway looking at me, and the woman at the back. Her feet are both planted,
right,
and she's completely looking at me. So there's almost a different intent in all three people as well.
Yeah, right.
And to me, it's a fabulous shot. It's one of my favourite shots I've taken of the Taj, certainly. And there was another moment, then a flock of birds flew by for like 2 seconds,
yep.
Not even half a second, and I was the only person to move to get the shot.
Yeah.
This happens this fast. And I met this lovely American guy who was standing over me, and he was bemoaning the fact of the Taj, not being able to see the Taj. And so I said, well, yeah, you're now seeing it in a way no one else gets to see it. Make that your thing. And he's his light went on for him. And all of a sudden he was a lot more invigorated about wanting to take images and video. And
yeah.
He travels the world for, I think he's pretty well off, not that older guy. He just travels the world for his own enjoyments. He wants to see all the wonders of the world. And he posts about it on Instagram, and that's his thing. He does,
nice.
Independently wealthy. And so all of a sudden he had something to envision and take photos of, and there's another and the funny thing is, yeah, they turned out to be some of my favorite photos of the trip. Is that last morning in the worst conditions of the whole trip,
yeah.
You know, funny how it works, yeah. And also funny enough, then it leaves you on a high, yeah.
Yeah.
I've taken my last memories, and I took some really good photos, you know, and where the previous couple of days have been really hard work and I wasn't feeling great. And then, oh, that's good. You know, it's not okay. You know? And fortunately, everyone got back to a couple of ladies actually left us at Agro that went off on a tiger safari.
Right.
Really concerned that they wouldn't see anything. Yeah. First up, they're saying, oh, yeah, kind of wish we hadn't stayed any longer. This has been so amazing. How can this add to it? And they saw tigers in every one of their safaris. They went, they did lots of safaris and saw six lots of tigers. So they had a ball out doing that too.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, 20 feet.
Because safaris are another one of those things where you go along with such preconceived ideas of you're going to get to see and shoot, and it doesn't always work out.
And what happens if it doesn't? Yeah. But these tigers came up within 15 feet of the car.
Oh,
you know, it's just like, but who knows how many people have been there and seen nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You spend all your time and your money and your hopes and your dreams, and or you see a fleeting glimpse in the distance for 5 seconds, and that's your experience.
Talk to me about Alaska.
Exactly, isn't it? You know, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
You got to make what you got. Someone posted on my Instagram page a couple of days ago, oh, I got a lot of photos with birds in at the moment. Is there any significance to that? And my reply was simply, I'll just shoot what's there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was what was there to shoot.
Yeah.
So that's what's in the shot. There's no, doesn't happen yet. It's the be all and end all, really.
Yeah.
So that's it. Yeah. So overall, really good trip. I've had to cancel Bangladesh for April, unfortunately, because of the health, and it's just to see how that progresses. But I'm hoping that we do India again in October, November next year. We'll see. Or I pull the pin on everything. That's the other consideration, is give up everything and spend some quality time not being dead or something. So we'll see. So everything's a bit of flux there at the moment.
Yeah.
But on a positive note, because the last thing about me, I bought a new camera.
What?
But not for me. I bought a Christmas gift for my eldest.
Oh, right.
I bought this Fuji Instax instant camera. It's called an Evo Mini, but it's a digital camera and printer all in one.
Oh, right? Okay.
So you can do your normal digital photos, save to memory card.
Yeah.
But then if you really like the photo, if you hit the wind on, it's like an old-fashioned crank on wind on, it prints a photo out the side. you have to wind on to get to print. But here's the reason I bought it. It's a cool vintage retro kind of look.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's got 10 different filter effects. Black and white and sepia and light leak and all that. But it's also got 10 different lens effects.
Okay.
Like mirrored effect. It can do a half frame. It can do all these cool effects. So you've basically got 100 effects built into the camera.
Wow.
And by chance, you were saying that, because I found out the other day, my little Yashica Y35 camera. Do you remember this camera? It was a Kickstarter
project
a few years ago. As a digital camera, but without a digital back.
Right.
It was just a point and shoot. But inside, it's got, if I can get it to open, inside it's got digital films.
Oh, that's right. They look like a film canister, but they're digital. That's right.
And it's got black and white and 6x6 and rich, light leak colours sort of stuff. And you have to put the film into the camera. So I found that out. But I was searching for something in the garage. It had broken. It wouldn't work anymore.
Right.
But then I was just having to fiddle around with it. And I found if you only wind the lever on, because you have to wind on to cock the shutter.
Yeah, right.
Before you could shoot. And it wouldn't do that anymore. But if you only wind on 3/4 of the way, it works about 80% of the time.
Oh.
So I started using that again for a bit of funsies a couple of days ago. And then my kid goes, I'd love a retro camera like that. And it's like this Fuji is like the perfect combination of digital and print for a young sort of hip content creator, as they call them. So, I bought this. It looks bloody fabulous. It's like $300. But it's just this cracking little camera. And I reckon I wouldn't mind one myself. Yeah, it just looked like, because once again, it's creative fun. You know, is that what we should be trying to achieve sometimes? Not always being so. So that's what I love about this little Yashica. You don't even get to see the photos, so you get home and download them off the card.
Right.
And it's the viewfinder is not particularly well lined up.
Right.
And it's at the shutter, and you think you're taking a photo, it doesn't always go off. So it's a height of unpredictability. and that's kind of good. Yeah. You know? It's kind of good, and I love the photos out of it. So, but here's the thing: I thought, I'll look them up on the internet, see if anyone's selling them.
Yeah.
And you can buy new unused ones now,
right?
Like $1,400.
What?
$1,400. The cheapest I could find of used and fairly abused was like $400.
Oh.
Yeah, I think it cost me like $150 from memory.
Yeah, right.
So it's a collector's item, bro. anyway, that's enough about me. How have you been this last 2 weeks?
It's been about 6 weeks. So, it's been an interesting period of time. I've been offered an ongoing position with the ABC.
Is that good or bad?
That's a good thing. So,
I thought it was, but I just, brilliant.
So after 2.5 years of rolling contracts, the project that Grant, the guy I've been backfilling.
That's right, yeah.
The project he was on, they were able to offer him an ongoing role, so he was able to relinquish his hold on the position of ops coordinator. So they've now offered that to me, which is lovely. So
that's brilliant, mate. Well done. When do you start that?
Well, it just continues on, basically.
There's no official start date?
At some point, I'm sure they'll present me with an employment agreement.
Contract.
You know, yeah. Like, it's not a contract, but whatever they call it now. But, yeah.
Yeah.
So, so that's nice to know that I now have permanent employment.
Yay.
And I dare say this will be the last radio gig that I ever do.
I hope so.
I'll do this for the next, you know, 6-7 years, and by then I'll be ready to retire. So,
yeah. Put on you, lady.
So, yeah.
Oh, it's brilliant. I'm really happy for you.
Thank you. That's been good. Haven't really had the camera out a whole lot, but I am looking forward to, in 8 days' time, Kath and I fly to Western Australia for Christmas.
Yeah.
So going over to see my family, who I haven't seen for 3 years, and going to have Christmas with them, take the camera with me. We fly into Perth. We're picking up a hire car. We're going to drive down to the Margaret River area and spend 3 nights down there, because even though I'm from the west, I've never been down to the Margaret River region.
Oh, really? Oh, cool.
And neither
first has... up, what I think about it?
Yep.
Have you booked your hire car yet?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Why?
Well, just what I told you to use my guys and saved you a ton of money.
Which guys?
Economycarrentals.com.
Okay.
So the best place, any time, this is for anyone in the world. If you ever want to hire a car anywhere in the world, economycarrentals.com. All insurances, everything's included.
Yeah.
You can pick it up and drop it off a different spot, no penalties. And it's the cheapest I've ever found for hiring cars.
Well, I can tell you now, Kath is normally on top of this stuff months and months and months in advance.
Yeah.
And it was only about 2 nights ago that she suddenly went,
oh,
I don't think I've hired a car yet. And we jumped online.
Good thing it's not Christmas.
Yeah. And we've jumped online and literally had to go through probably 20, 25 websites to find anyone that even had a car available at anything under, like, you know, $160 stupid bucks money, a day. Yeah. But yeah, and ended up finding something that worked out to be about $107 a day. So so, you know, another grand on top of the the trip.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? Yeah.
You know? So anyway, so we go down to Margaret River for 3 days, and then we drive back up to Perth on Christmas Eve. And then Christmas Day, catching up with cousins from my dad's side of my family for lunch, and then catching up with auntie and uncle and cousins from my mum's side of the family for dinner. And then on Boxing Day, we'll catch up with Kath's cousin who lives in Perth. And then on the 27th, we're driving up to Durian Bay, which is a couple of hours north of Perth, because I want to go and see the Pinnacle Desert. Because again, never been to the Pinnacle Desert in my life.
Check out and get in contact if you want to.
Yeah.
My mate Paul V. Harrison on Facebook.
Yeah.
He shoots up there a lot. He's one of the guys who's with him in India.
Yeah, right.
Takes fabulous shots. Get in touch with him. Tell him you're coming over. He might even take you out for a shoot.
Oh.
But also, awesome. He'll certainly give you some clues about where to go and when to go.
Oh, nice. That'd be awesome. Awesome. Yeah. I will
just tell him I sent you.
Yeah, I'll definitely reach out to him. So, yeah, so up there for a couple of nights, then back into Perth on the 29th, and then fly out first thing on the 30th and get back here. So we're back here for New Year's Eve, and then got, you know, another half a week off before back to work on Monday the 6th. So, yeah, so that's going to be a nice couple of weeks away, and, you know, hopefully you get to take some photos of some things I haven't seen before, so.
Well, it'd be awesome, especially as you get some of your landscape stuff that you haven't done in a while.
Absolutely.
And sort of get some good astro stuff if you're up at the Pinnacles at nighttime or whatever. Yeah.
Yep.
As well. It's pretty remarkable. $880 all-inclusive, by the way, I could have done for you.
For
all insurances, for the car hire.
For the car for 9 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Well, from the 18th to the 30th, but I put down 12 days. I might have put down too many days. Oh, wow.
No. We only needed 21st to the 29th.
Hang on a second. Okay, let's live embarrass Bruce.
do they actually have any cars in stock, though, Glenn?
Yeah. No, you could hire it straight away there and then.
Wow.
And they said from the 21st, you said, was it?
Yep. Pick up on 21st the 21st, drop back on the 29th.
Travel on the 29th. Oh, God. And remember, this includes all insurances, all excess, no excess, all the stuff.
Right.
And $743. There you go.
Jeez. Wow.
So economy car rentals. So future, economycarrentals.com. anywhere in the world you want to go, seriously. I use them all around the world.
Yeah.
I've never, ever found anyone cheaper.
Wow.
And it's always through normal hire car companies. It's like Thrifty or through Budget or...
It's just
a booking agency and just have these stupid rates. You know?
Wow.
It works a treat. So it's a tip for young players.
Interesting. I'll have to ask Kath if we're committed to the booking we've made or.
Yeah, well, just for anyone for future reference, so I've used them for 15 years.
Yeah, right.
I reckon. And never had an issue with them and touch wood.
Cool.
But that'd be awesome. But yeah, Paul's going to look at some of his stuff online too. Some of his astro stuff is he does phenomenal astro stuff and amazing spiders.
Oh, right.
Yeah, like these little tiny jumping. Yeah, he does peacock spiders. He does remarkable photos of those too.
Yeah, right.
But lovely him and his wife, him and Shona, lovely, lovely people. I think you get along with them really well, actually.
Okay.
They're both geologists.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, lots of.
Why he'd know the Pinnacle Desert. Really
yeah,
well.
Absolutely. So wow. Reach cool. out and
definitely.
Hopefully, he can steer you in a good direction and maybe even volunteer his services.
Yeah. Awesome.
Well, that's kind of it, I guess. Is this our Christmas edition? Should we sing a Christmas carol?
This is pretty much it for the year. So,
yeah. Oh, hairy night, the sun was shinily brighting. What, how's it go?
I don't know, but I don't think it's like that.
Not good with lyrics. I think I had the rhythm down bright, though, Bruce. I think I had what everyone's wishing for now that is listening to this, they're wishing for a silent night. They want us to stop.
That's right.
Well, my friend, it brings to end another year of fabulous podcasts that I've been listening to, and we've done some as well.
That's right. There you go.
So next year, well, how many years is it next year by the time we kick off? It's going to be 18 years.
Well, Shelton and I started this in 2005.
Well, yeah, 19.
So this will be the 20th next year.
We have to do something special for that.
You would think.
Maybe not record an episode for the year. Just do that wouldn't take very long. Just do two highlights of the first 20 years. Congratulations, mate.
Thank you.
It's a huge achievement. One of the longest running podcasts in the world.
The
longest photography podcast in the world.
The longest running photography podcast in the world. Yep.
Well, we may have a few new listeners because I have been up at a few camera clubs of late and pimping is out. Yep. And I'm going on another podcast run by the guys who own Lucky Straps soon. And they're going to pimp us out as well. So
awesome.
We never know. We might make the top 200 podcasts in photography in Australia if we're lucky.
Well, mate, you have a good Christmas.
Thank you.
And look after your health.
Safe flights. I'll do what I can.
And to all of our listeners, we would wish you all a very Merry Christmas if that is your thing. Have a safe and wonderful Happy New Year, and we'll talk to you all again mid-January.
Thanks for persevering with our sort of stop-start schedule. It's been a bit this year.
Bit hit and miss, yep.
Hopefully you still find value in us waffling.
Yep.
But we appreciate every one of you, and be good to yourself and be good to others.
Beautiful. See you, mate.
Take care, everyone. Bye.
You've been listening to Shutters Inc. For questions, comments and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.